Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you live. Scratch that. All right. Welcome to the WJBM Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Joining us, we have Mr. Wiley Hefner and Mr. Daniel Drainer. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
So the big buck contest, Wiley, you killed a very nice deer.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining and being a part of it. You won the third place of $150 gift certificate for Smith Seed, Food Plot Seed, or $150 towards the aerial drone application.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious on how the aerial drone application works. I haven't seen that, so I'm excited to talk to him about what that entails.
Yeah, just go ahead, give JD a call. He'll walk you through it. He's pretty hardcore with it. I talked to him quite a bit during, you know, the application season and like during fungicide. Hey man, you want some more places to spray. He's like, I'm just booked, man. So he's killing it with that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see too what his top sales are for the area, you know, whether it's because we have so much corn here.
Yeah.
What they recommend, you know, and I've planted food plots in the past and had success with some products and not success with others. And I'm curious to see what his ideas on what they've had success with in the past too, and maybe even different kinds. I know that it can get so technical with clovers that there's several different types, you know, pre-season, you know, during season. And I'm super excited to have won this so I can just gain some knowledge. Obviously, I would have liked to have won the first place and got a free mount from Matt Cheek. But hey, this is a great opportunity too for me to learn. And I've planted food plots in the past, but I haven't, you know, the last 10 years probably, I haven't really got into the food plots as much. Probably since crossbows.
Yeah.
So yeah. They make things a little easier, but so I'm excited to plant one this year and be able to hunt over it.
All right. Yeah. Well, JD, I consider him one of my resources when I'm going to do food plots and wondering about seed. He's absolutely somebody that I call often, probably too much. I might wear out my welcome with him, but he's incredibly knowledgeable. Definitely one of those, seed nerds.
Yeah.
Is that a...
Hopefully, maybe I can talk to them about getting some in early this year while they're still growing and try to help with some antler growth. Maybe it's too late for that. I don't know, but...
I don't know. I think, you know, things are starting to bud up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're probably getting some of that new growth already.
Right.
You know, but anytime you're feeding deer, I think is a good time.
Yeah.
You know, try and get them coming to your location early. And then, you know, something I've transitioned to for Monarch Rivers is planting early and then maintaining that plot. And either when the deer eat it up or when it comes time to a fall, you know, planting for like a turnip or, you know, anything that you're trying to kill them over in the fall, the field's already in good shape. You're not starting out with 4 foot tall of grass and
you have to do a bunch of work again.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, Daniel, you're here cause you guys are longtime hunting buddies. How did this come about?
Well, what we met probably, I don't know what, 12 years ago, somewhere in there. And, you know, like, I'm always skeptical when somebody says that they do something. Like, I don't know about you, but like, they're like, oh yeah, I'm a hunter. And I'm like, are you?
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, especially hunting.
Like, are you really? Yeah. Like, yeah. So that's me. I mean, I've been that way with everything, whether it was, you know, playing ball or golf or anything. Or somebody fishing. Tells you, fish, especially fishing. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Somebody tells you they do something and they're good at it. You
yeah.
know, you're always the first, you're like, oh, we'll see. You know, right, like, you don't right. like, I don't know. I learned early on, don't take anybody's word for it until you see the proof. But, yeah, we probably 10, 12 years ago. And Wiley at the time was, a traditional, man, he was slinging arrows from 2 yards away, killing machine. And I'd actually hurt my shoulder, and this was, Right before crossbows became legal, and I'd hurt my shoulder. I had to go through this whole process to get a crossbow. Doctor's note and all that. I couldn't pull a bow back, and man, I was really bummed. And I remember, like, I was almost depressed because I was like, I'm not getting a crossbow. And I was that guy. I'm like, forget it. And I had a buddy who's not with us anymore, but he taught me a lot about hunting. He goes, why do you care? He's like, get out in the woods and enjoy being out in the woods. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And so I ended up getting a crossbow, and we had met each other at church, really. And so I'm always looking for an excuse to hang out with people and go hunt. And so
right.
I was like, man, Wiley, let's go hunt. And so.
And find new hunting spots.
And find new hunting spots. I was like, how many acres do you have? You know? And so we kind of combined those two, and now we have quite a few places to hunt, which is really cool. And so, but then I tainted him. I was like, man, it's a lot more fun shooting this thing, you know, 30 yards than 3 yards, which isn't really true. But, you know,
the traditional archery's got a total different aspect. If you get into it, you really enjoy it for the reasons that it is. But I lost the vision in my right eye.
Okay.
At a point there, kind of around the same time we started hanging out, and I think that was part of the transition. As with shooting traditional archery, it's a lot instinctive, and you got to be, you know, your vision, and my eye dominance had to switch from my right eye to my left eye, and
yeah.
So it really messed me up, and so I couldn't even shoot a compound. Like, I still can't, because I can't see out of my right eye. I got to do it left-handed. So it gave me the opportunity to pick up a crossbow, and you know, coming from the traditional background, you know, I fell out of a tree once and dislocated my shoulder and couldn't shoot right-handed, so I shot a recurve left-handed and killed a couple deers that way. And so, like, I was hardcore with it, and so it you know, hunting, and I spent the first, man, 17 or 18 years seasons of my life hunting. You know, I had one other hunting partner that I hunted with that was a traditional guy. And then, you know, my uncles helped me out a lot getting started. But for the most part, I hunted by myself all the time until mm-hmm. Daniel and I started hunting together. And, man, I'll tell you, having a hunting buddy and, you know, coming from somebody that's fallen out of a deer stand and been laying on the ground, you know, hobbling back to the truck.
Yeah.
It's hunting with somebody. And even if I go by myself, I text him, I'm like, oh, I'm hunting in the, you know, in the honey hole, or I'm hunting this stand or that stand. And we know where each other's at. It's a total different, you know, it's a game changer as you're getting older in life, you know?
Yeah.
Although I just now thinking the guy that I was hunting with whenever I was really young, you know, he was the old guy, but now I'm his age. And so now I'm like, wait, I'm his age now whenever I was hunting. So, but, you know, it was great having a couple guys whenever I first started, to help me out. And I try to do that. Daniel brings his son along, and I brought my son this year, and a friend of his from college came down and hunted. And it's so cool. You know, you don't even take a bow anymore, and you just let them do it. And it kind of brings a whole, I even posted on my Facebook the day that he came, and it was like, you know, teaching him that it's not about killing, it's about being out here, and it's about, you know, just the time that you get to spend in the outdoors. And the reason I posted that post was because we were sitting there, and this fox, a red fox, runs by,
yeah,
and like goes through. And, you know, if you've been hunting for a while, you know how rare that is. Mm-hmm. You know, you get into a farm every once in a while that's got foxes, but for the most part, like, I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, I've only seen a few in the 25 years that I've been sitting in the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for him to be able to see that on, like, his first hunt, he didn't appreciate it.
Right. But
so, and I'm like, oh, there's a fox. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's so great to just be able to help younger kids to get a passion for the outdoors and to see that. And
yeah, and when you find it, like, when you find a hunting buddy that's, you know, ate up like you, you know, like, that's cool. Cause it's not always like what you're doing, but like who you're doing it with. And then, like, you, when you're surrounded by people that are like, they're not going to let you sleep in, you know, cause
right.
like there's days where you wake up and you'd be like, you know what, I'll just go back to bed. But you know that guy's going to be in your driveway, and yeah. that makes it easier sometimes.
Dude, how many times have we said that to each other? Man, if you weren't hunting,
if you weren't
today,
hunting, I wouldn't be going. That's just, uh-huh. yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And so, no, that was us. And
that happened on our big buck, the one I shot this year for the big buck thing, that happened on that trip because
yeah.
one of us had to leave early.
Well, that's not the first time we've kind of experienced the old someone leaves early.
Yeah.
You know, we a few years back, he had to, I mean, it was right smack dab. I don't know who schedules a wedding in the middle of rut.
In Texas.
The most inconsiderate people that I've ever
seen. She'll never listen to this. Yeah, it was my niece, and she
you can say that, but I'm in the stand, and I'm giving him updates because he's on his way to the airport.
I'm in the airport, in the TSA line, in the airport,
in the TSA, and I'm like, man, there's two monsters, and they're squared up in the middle of the field, and they're circling each other. You know, they got the walk going, and yeah. I was like, oh man, this is unbelievable.
Halfway in between the two stands, we'd be sitting in.
Right, yeah. We'd both have eyes on them, and. Man, I just started banging as loud as I could on some, you know, I was just like, I gotta get one of them over here. And I just started making as much noise as I could, smashing the rack together. And man, the smaller one came through on, he just came right in and I whacked him and I'm sending messages to Wiley and I'm like,
oh, the bigger one went right by the stand I would have been in.
I'm sending messages to him and he's in the airport. He's like, what? And I was like, oh man, I just smoked one. And he's like, no way. And I catch up to it and I got him sending him pictures and he's, you know, you're happy but depressed because you're not there, and mm-hmm. and so yeah, we've had quite a few of those.
We named him the airport buck.
He's the airport buck, yeah. So because one of us was in the airport,
the
unlucky one.
So that was actually the day before. That was November 5th that happened. It was a day because my birthday is on November 6th, so I've killed several deer on that day, and it's mostly because I'm in the woods on that day.
Yeah,
because I'm like, well, I'm hunting.
Yeah, happy birthday to me.
I'm hunting. Right. And that's what happened that morning. It was my birthday and I was going, and he had an appointment for something, dentist or something, I don't even remember, funeral or something, and he's like, oh man, if you weren't picking me up and this wasn't your birthday, I'd be sleeping in. Cause he was only going to get to hunt for like an hour. And, so we're sitting there and he's in the field. Like, so he was hunting closer to the truck so he could sneak back to the truck. And I texted him and he's like, he's walking out and he's like, there's a monster in the field. And I was like, oh baby, this is gonna be just like the airport buck. You're gonna leave and I'm gonna eat. And sure enough, that sucker, he walked through the woods about 30 minutes later.
Minutes? No. Dude, I didn't get 5 minutes down the road and my phone's ringing and he's like, I just shot him on. You know that call, right? Yeah. Like the heart pounding, like breathing heavy.
The
like,
stand pots. Give me a minute. Right. Just give me a minute.
I just shot a monster.
Yeah, when I messaged him and I sent him a text. I was like, man, here's a stud in the field. And I sent him a picture of the deer. And I was like, it's this one right here. Because we don't, I know you got a lot of people, so you've seen so many bucks on camera that you've actually got seen people hold.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But like, we don't have that. Like we haven't gotten over to cell cams yet, and we haven't gotten to, which is, you know, no big deal, but you know, there's so much time and energy that goes into,
and money.
You know, and money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like just to go out there and then you're like, well, I don't want to mess things up. And you're in and you're out and you're trying to do all those things. And so we don't have a whole lot of probably stories of deer that we got on the ground that we actually had a good picture of, you know, before.
Well, we do. The neighbors got a couple good pictures some that we've got on camera.
Picture of that deer. Yeah. So this one we did, and I sent it to him. And I was like, it's this deer right here. And I left, and I'm telling you, he says 30 minutes. I didn't even get to where I was going. Which
it
was
seemed
in,
like 30 minutes.
Which
I don't
was,
know.
Where I was going was a 10-minute drive. I wasn't even halfway there, and my phone was ringing. And
he circled right around downwind of me, too, or upwind of me. Too. It was great. He come in, and it was one of those deals where I think with a traditional archery, I'm probably not going to get the shot off. You know, okay. It's 20 yards through the wood, 24 yards through the woods.
Yeah.
And
through a hole,
you know, and he had asked me, he's like, you think one of our kids would have made that shot? And I was like, man, I don't think so. Like, you're shooting through a pie plate hole, you know, in a tree. Like,
would you let them take that shot?
Right, probably. Right. You know,
no, wait till he gets closer.
But, hunting with somebody, in doing that and having that experience with them, you know, I'm sure, you know, for you, like having a client that comes, you know, and you feel that with them, but, you know, having somebody that you've been hunting with for 10 years and having that success, because it was what, 2 days before we hung the stand, we moved it out of a dead tree and moved it to a different side.
Just moved it. Yeah.
The first sit in it, first or second. And it was just, having that experience, you know, and he was scored 159, but he was only 8 points.
That's a monster.
And so, his picture, you know, he's a bigger deer than that, because he's, you know, he's only an 8-pointer. And so he's, it's definitely been a different experience being able to do that, to hunt with somebody.
Yeah. That's, by far the best part of what we do at Monarch Rivers is, you know, getting to facilitate that, but also share in the experience of harvesting the deer. And, you know, there are so many different people with so many different, you know, skill levels or experience levels. I mean, it ranges from new to someone that, you know, recognizes, hey, I don't live in Illinois. If I work with an outfitter, you know, they have a place set up, they have the knowledge, I get to be efficient with my time, come in and harvest a nice buck, or just experience, you know, Illinois' abundance of wildlife like we have in this area. That being said, let's take a break and we're going to hear from our sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. With us, we have hunting buddies Wiley Hefner and Daniel Drainer. They were just explaining kind of how the number three winning buck in the WJBM Big Buck Contest was harvested. These guys hunt together, and tell us a little bit about that. You guys hunt kind of on the same property often?
Yeah, we do. Before that, I got to say, I love the mission of Monarch, man.
Kill big deer.
Because it's simple. Yeah, that is like, I kept waiting for something else to come from that. Like, because he's like, kill big deer. Or is it kill big bucks?
Kill big deer.
Kill big deer. And I was like, and?
Because it doesn't have to be big bucks. Like, right, we'll kill big does. We don't care.
Kill big deer. No, we do. We hunt. So it's kind of the thing when you've hunted so long kind of on your own and you kind of acquire your areas to hunt, whether you own them or you have permission to hunt those places.
Right.
And then you, it's kind of like a marriage, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You
yeah.
go, well, let's take yours and mine and let's make them ours. And so fortunately, I think for us, like for whether it's properties that our families own or we own or that we have permission to hunt, that those people have also been, you know, like, yeah, hey, that's fine. Like, you can, you know, bring someone or whatever. And so that's been cool. 'Cause I think we've got now, several hundred acres that we're able to.
Yeah. We're probably over 1,000 maybe.
To kind of, wow, you know, comb through or whatever. And the bad thing about that is you can get in a rut. I think at times you can get so overwhelmed with all the areas that you stop. Maybe at times, and I know that, like, I've done this, and like, we're busy too, because we don't do this for a living, you know? And so it's like, you can get kind of stuck in the rut of going, well, we know this will work, whether, you know, you might be able to dig in on just a little bit more and find Mr. Booney, but you're like, but his, you know, nephew will work just fine. And so I think you can kind of get in that rut, but, and they're all local. They're all Jersey County.
They are. And we still do some public hunting too. And one nice thing about going with, you know, hunting with somebody else is learning the perspective that they have. So I remember the first time we went down and hunted Pere Marquette, and this was probably, we've probably only been hunting together for a year or two. And, you know, he says, this is another story where he was gone. He had a free trip to Cabo or something. And he's like, I got to go. So
Cabo. If I wasn't married and my wife wasn't like, we're going to Cabo.
Yeah.
She says, she never, like, amazing shout out to our wives, because they never, like, complain about anything. So, yeah, I had to go.
Yeah. But we get the Pere Marquette draw, and we're pre-scouting it, and he's like, man, this saddle right here is going to be a great spot. And I, like, for whatever reason, maybe I just hadn't had experience with it. I don't know. You kind of read about hunting saddles, and, you know, a nice little shelf in the woods.
Yeah.
I just have never done it. I'm mostly, well, hunting with the recurve, the saddles are usually too big of an area, so I've got to kind of more isolate to what part of the saddle they're walking on. They walk, you know, because I can only shoot 15 yards or 20 at the most. And so he's like, man, this is a great spot. So I'm like, oh, okay. So he was, I think he was saddle hunting at the time, like, so he's up he climbs
it, tree diaper.
He hunts it a couple times, and then he leaves to go to Cabo, and I get the old summit climber out, and I'm like, I got an idea. So he's not coming back this week, so I'm going to sit in his spot, man. I learned what dragging a deer out of Pere Marquette entails. So, but, you know, you learn the different perspectives on a different area from hunting, and being able to gather knowledge from somebody else's, you know, that's a big thing that's going to really help you. Otherwise you do get stuck in a rut. We were hunting a couple of years ago, we were hunting a farm that is, his grandpa owns, and we're sitting there, and we know it was first part of November. I don't know. I mean, the rut was on, and we know the deer should be coming, and we're like, man, there's just something not right. Let's move. So we, like, jump in the trucks, go to another farm at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, the corn was, we hadn't hunted that farm because the corn was still up in first part of November, unfortunately.
So you can't even get to the timber. Right. You got to go through, you know, it's hard to get to the timber. You got to walk through everything.
So we get down there. We weren't there 15 minutes. And this,
well, you said too, we're like, man, like, this right here, I mean, it's like tucked in there. You got a creek here, you've got the cornfield here, and you got about 25 yards in between, and it's like this little transition, and he tucked up in there, and I went a little bit deeper. I was like, I'm gonna go a little deeper, you tuck up in here, and man, it's 20 minutes, and he whacked one, you know, a good buck too.
Yeah, so that was a 150 probably or more. But and that was just a matter of being able to, you know, with the wind, jump to another farm, jump to another spot, and kind of, you know, reposition yourself. You know, in the rut, man, you got to be out there. And so,
yeah, not being afraid to. You know, I think a lot of times we're like, oh man, if I get down, I'm going to ruin, you know, everything. And
we learned a lot that day too. Like, you can do it.
We did. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you if there's all kinds of deer running around, I don't recommend someone hopping out of the tree.
Right.
It just wasn't right. You know, you can just feel it wasn't right. And so we went to a new spot and it worked out.
You got to go with your gut.
Yeah.
As a outfitter and guide, I always feel like I sound like a kind of like a kook when I'm telling my hunters, like, what's your gut say?
Right.
And they're looking at me like, you're the guide. Yeah. And as a guide, I know, right, like, you have hunting experience. What's that experience telling you? You know, and that, because the one thing when you get, you know, over 1,000 acres of access, whether you're, you know, own it, permission, lease, sometimes it's just too many options.
Yeah.
Hey, sure. How do you guys deal with that? Because you at least can get to bounce it off of each other and kind of from a peer to peer, as to where me, they're looking at me like, all right, where are you taking me? And it sometimes can get difficult to say, all right, well, this buck's here, you know, we've got the wind for these $5. Right. Then we start looking at terrain and right, how far we got to walk back there and like what kind of shape the hunter might be in, or what weapon, or right, is this stand set up for a right-hander or is it set up for a left-hander? You know, all of these things come into factor, and I use those to kind of funnel it down to where are we going to start the hunt. But what do you guys do being hunting partners?
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to like, and you too, and I mean, people are asking you, I mean, that's, you're talking 20 plus years of absorbing knowledge, making mistakes. You know, I remember my first, probably my first 3 years of hunt, I didn't hunt as a kid. Like I didn't have someone, you know, take me around and hunt. And I didn't start hunting until I was in my 20s. I'm 45 now. And I was, you know, I didn't start hunting until then. And, you know, I about gave up on it. You know, I was like, this is dumb. I don't see nothing. I don't know. I remember one of my buddies like, you're going to kill a deer today. Just here's what we're going to do. And man, we did. And I whacked one. I was like, all right, man, like that was kind of the start of it. But how many mistakes have we made? How many times have you didn't trust your gut and you went with something else and you know, and I think when we say gut, that to me is just the culmination of everything that you have absorbed or learned over your lifetime of hunting,
mm-hmm,
surrounding yourself with people that may probably know more than you. And knowing that, like, I never want to be the smartest guy in the room. I never want to be, you know, and so like you, when we started hunting together, here's a guy that hunted completely different than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have been the guy that was like, oh no, this is how you know, like it wouldn't work. Like you go, well, man, I can learn from you. You can learn from me. And a lot of it is that, and is just kind of leaning into that knowledge that you've gained over the years that your uncle passed you down, or you read, or, you know, sometimes you're sitting in a tree scrolling through Whitetails Unlimited going, okay, what did they say?
Right, what's the moon phase right now? Yeah.
You know, sometimes it is that, but, you know, I mean, honestly, when it comes to gut, like you can't, I would rather do that and be wrong. Like I just would, because then you're going to learn to trust yourself. I remember it was 3:00 in the afternoon. I was sitting in my office and I texted a buddy of mine. He's over in Shipman. And I had just helped him scout his own property. And I was like, hey, what about the spot down? He goes, oh, I never hunt that spot. I only hunt up here. And I was like, you should consider hunting that spot. And he's like, I don't want to hunt that spot. And so I messaged him. I go, hey, I said, yeah, you're not going to hunt that spot. Could I hunt it today? This is 3:00 PM. And early or late October, he goes, yeah, you can hunt it. Well, I go there and exactly what I thought was going to happen. Deer comes off the field, comes down the, I mean, right. I ranged one spot and that's where the deer was, and biggest buck on the property. And I really felt bad about it, but, and he was super happy, but you know,
how many times does that happen too? Like it, we say, oh man, they did exactly what we thought they were going to do. That doesn't always happen, but the whole trust in your gut thing, like that's the successful hunt. It might not be a deer that you shoot, because that's not the one that walked by. But there was still a deer that did exactly what you thought it was going to do. And I feel like whenever that happens, I'm like, that's a huge success. Like, that's, we wouldn't have went hungry if we were just shooting.
You won. You won that.
And so I think, too, along with that, there's also stands that's called the honey hole for a reason.
Right.
So you have some that just hang there year after year after year, and you're not bouncing them around. So having those spots and learning your farms and not busting deer with wind, you know, and back to what he said at the beginning, kind of, you know, knowing, you know, hunting with somebody that you can trust that actually knows what they're talking about is a big thing, because you start listening to the conversation with the guy whenever you first start hunting. And if he doesn't know, you know, about wind, and he doesn't know, you know, he's not wearing rubber boots, you know, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, the first thing you do is you watch him get out of the truck.
Yeah.
Do they slam the door there. Or not, right? Do you see how, right. Like, how did they close the truck door? And if they, you know, if they slam that door, you're like, okay, I'm never hunting with this guy again. Right.
Why you go to their property first.
And some of that too is, you know, hey, are there crops? What are the crops? What, you know, what time of year
are they acorns?
Out?
Are they eating?
Are they out? Yeah.
Bedding areas. You know, we got a couple spots where we just try to stay out of the bedding areas for until maybe we just hunt them a couple times a year, whenever mm-hmm. the time's right, the wind's right, your gut's right. You know, you're like, okay, it's time.
Yeah. You know, they're going to get up and you can sneak in the old bedroom, but for the old hang and bang.
Right. But it's just, you know, I think having the knowledge and just the availability of, and nowadays with phones, like telling us what the wind is going to be tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. you know, how often would it be where you would have to put a stake out with a ribbon on it, so you drive by in the morning and see which way that the flag's blowing to see where the wind's going.
Buying the black market milkweed.
Right. And trying to decide that, you know, nowadays I know what the wind's going to be on Friday. So I, you know, you can plan a lot better now than we used to be able to. So that the advancement of technology has really helped with that.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're running out of time here, so I think we should cut another one. Let's wrap this one up, and we'll start for following week's episode here in a second. So that being said, a big thank you to JD Smith and Smith Seed for sponsoring our Big Buck contest. Big thanks to you, Wiley, for entering your buck into the contest.
Yeah, thank you guys for doing it. It's an awesome program. I can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you both for coming out today.